the stars or something. It's a sign. A sign appears, and now they know that they are meant for each other, and so they fall in love and they live happily ever after. These movies are all kind of the same. They're the Hallmark movie. I like them. Marianne likes them more, I think. They're cute, they're sweet, they're romantic, they always have a happy ending. They're harmless. By and large, they're completely harmless. They're harmless unless, of course, you take them too seriously. In most Hallmark movies, there's always that sign in the stars or something, right? You know that the stars generally don't tell you if you should date or marry a certain person or not. You know that's not true, right? That's not true, right? You know that. Funny though, or is it scary? It's funny or it's scary. How many people actually do look for direction in life? They look for meaning in life by looking for some kind of a sign. They need a sign. And so they look to the stars, or they looked for their tea leaves, or they looked for their horoscope. They need some kind of a sign before they can commit to anything and move forward, like in the Hallmark movie. Sometimes Christians do this. Christians also sometimes play games with their Bibles, no less. They wonder, for example, if they should be a missionary or not, and so they take their Bible and they just kind of close it, and then they open it and they toss it open to wherever it will, and they look for some kind of a sign on the page. They look over the page, they look across the page, and all of a sudden they see the word yes. There it is. It's yes. I got a sign. I know I must be a missionary because God said yes right in the page of the Bible. I guess the point I want to make tonight in this sermon, at least one of the points I want to make, is that don't do that. Don't do that. Don't try to figure out God's will for your life by looking for some kind of magical sign, be it in the stars or some kind of crystal ball, or even by looking for a special word somehow on the page of your Bible. Don't do that. Hallmark movies do that. But we don't. That's not how you find God's will for your life. That's not how God directs your life. Which begs the question, how then does God direct your life? How does He lead your life? You know how? By the guidelines He literally lays out for us on the pages of the Bible. The guidelines He lays out right here. That's it. That's all you need. Literally. In the Bible, God says, live by faith. Live by faith. Walk in obedience to the commandments by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's pretty much it. In a nutshell. And if you do that, we're good. We are good to go. We are good to go. Notice then that God gives us a fair amount of freedom to pick and choose what we might want to do to glorify our God. You might say, well, I don't know if I should be a minister or if I should be an auto body mechanic. I don't know which one I should choose. I want God to tell me. Well, you know what? God doesn't want to tell you. You get to choose. It's up to you. God gives you the right. God gives you the freedom. God gives you the responsibility to choose. No crystal ball. No things. Nothing in the stars. No, you get to choose. Thinking of Lord's Day 33 of the Heidelberg Catechism, I think it's helpful here. Lord's Day 33 talks about what's good for life. Now, what goes according to God's will? How do you know God's will for your life? What do you need? This is the way the Catechism asks the question. It asks, what do we do that is good? And it gives like a threefold answer. It answers, only that which arises out of true faith. And so we need to have faith. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to trust Him. We need to have true faith. Secondly, what do we need to do that is good? Secondly, only that which conforms to God's law. That is, it has to fit within the confines, the boundaries of God's law. God has given us His law, summarized nicely in the Ten Commandments. We went through all 10 of them earlier tonight. And so we're not allowed to murder, we're not allowed to commit adultery, we're not allowed to steal, etc. All such things are outside the parameters of God's law, and we need to live inside the parameters of God's law. We do that when we live inside the parameters. And third, what do we do that is good? Last of all, only that which is done for God's glory. As long as whatever we do is done for God's glory, let Him shine. Give Him all the praise, give Him all the honor, give Him all the glory. These are the guidelines the Catechism lays out for us. And those guidelines are good. They're very helpful, straight from the Bible. We do what is good for God when it arises out of true faith, it conforms to God's law, and it's done for God's glory. If what we do arises out of true faith, if it fits within the parameters of God's law, and it's done for His glory, then we're doing just fine. We're doing good. We're doing fine. Appreciate then, this gives us a lot of room to play. So much room that we get to choose how we get to glorify God. We get to choose who to date and who to marry. We get to choose what job or what calling we should have. We get to choose what university or what college or any other type of education we should have. It's up to us. It requires no signs, requires no stars in the sky, no crystal balls, or anything of the sort. We live by the guidelines of the Word of God as found in the Bible by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all we need. Which gets me to my text for tonight. Let me read it. It's right there on the screen. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. Let me tear that apart. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Some things are secret. Some things are not revealed to us, like what job you will have 25 years from now, or who you will marry, or when Jesus Christ is going to come back again, or when you are going to die. That information belongs to God. It's secret. And we have no business trying to figure all that stuff out. Says our text, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children. The things revealed. What are the things revealed? It's the stuff in the Bible. It's the stuff of His Word, like the Ten Commandments. Read the text as a whole. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. All the words of this law. That's the stuff that's revealed to us. That's what belongs to us. That's what guides our lives. And that's all we need by the power of the Holy Spirit. Too bad some don't want to live this way. Too bad some want to delve into the secret things of God. They need to know their future. And so they look for some kind of a sign. They look for something in the stars or in the crystal ball. Here's the question. Do we really want to know the secret things of God? Do we really want to know our future? Do we really want to look into the crystal ball? I think of King Saul. in the Old Testament. Remember him? He wanted to know his future, how he should fight his war against the Philistines. And so he went to the witch of Endor, no less. Remember the story? 1 Samuel chapter 28 tells the story. He went to the witch of Endor, and she did her thing. She managed to bring up a ghost of the prophet Samuel. Samuel talked to Saul and told him what would happen. What would happen? Samuel told Saul that he would die the next day. And that's exactly what happened. That was not such a good idea on King Saul's part. And so we don't want to delve into the secret things. That's why the better way to live is to live by faith. You walk in obedience to God's commandments, and you just glorify God in the best way that you can. That's the way to go. And God gives us so much freedom here to do whatever we want to glorify Him. And so may I encourage you to think big. Think big about how you can best live by faith, walk in obedience, and glorify your God. Have you done much thinking about this? If you haven't, may I encourage you to do so? Think big. You're allowed to do that. Yeah, that's what this world needs, are more people who are bold to think big, so we can impact our world for the kingdom, so that we can glorify our God. Think big. Don't settle for anything small. No, think, how can I glorify God? How can I advance His kingdom? You know what we need? We need more Christian doctors who think big. We need more Christian nurses. We need more Christian business people. We need more Christian lawyers out there. We need more Christian politicians out there. Think big. We need Christians out there in the world to glorify God and to expand His kingdom. And we can do that. We can think big because I know there is so much potential, even for our young people, in this very room. I think of my catechism students. Before Christmas, I gave my catechism students a test. How did they do? They all did very well. And I discovered that they are not very stupid after all. They have lots of brains. They got all kinds of gifts. They have all kinds of talent. They've got super potential. Praise God! So may I encourage you all to continue to live by faith, to walk in the way of God's revealed will, the Bible, and to glorify God. Go for it. Go for it. Not that God won't change your life's plans or your life's goals along the way. Not that we won't learn things by trial and error. We all do. We all do. I think of myself. When I was in high school, I wondered, what am I going to do with my life? When I was in high school, I thought, I know, I'm going to be a carpenter. No kidding, I majored in building construction technology from grades 11 and 12. And after high school, I worked in an auto body shop. That's what I did for a few years. I painted cars. And then I went to Fanshawe College in London. I studied industrial design. I thought, instead of fixing cars, maybe I should design cars. Bit of a pipe dream. And after all that, I finally landed up at Redeemer University College. And there I discovered that I actually enjoy theology and I enjoy philosophy. I discovered that I like people, working with people. And so I became a preacher. And I came to this not because of a crystal ball, not because of the stars. I didn't look for some kind of magical sign somewhere. No, it was much more simple than that. I just followed what I was interested in doing. I did what I wanted to do. I realized I had gifts for ministry, and the Bible promotes this. It was a good way for me to glorify my God. That's how it worked. It's as simple as that. Dear friends, we want to glorify God. Let's do it. This is what we need to do. This is something we want to do. Why? Why? Why do we want to do this? Because our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven on high. That's why. He reigns. He's sovereign. He's an awesome God. He saves. He blesses. He saves. And when we live by faith, and when we walk in obedience, and when we glorify Him as He asks us according to the things revealed, then we are blessed. We are. That we can be certain of. I think of Old Testament Israel. I think of the context in which our text is found. Our text is found in what book again? At Deuteronomy, it says. Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, Israel is on the threshold of the land of Canaan. They are this close to entering into the land of Canaan. They've left Egypt. Now they're this close to entering Canaan. They're just this close. And they're scared. Canaan, after all, is full of big cities with big walls. They have big armies. And rumor had it that there were giants in the land of Canaan. And Israel was just not all too sure that they wanted to enter Canaan anymore. They didn't know if they would succeed. Maybe they would die out there in the land of Canaan. They desperately wanted to know what would happen to them out there. And God's response, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed to us belong to us and to our children, that we may follow all the words of this law. That's what God told them to do. That was His word to them. And so Israel went. They crossed the Jordan, and they came to a city called Jericho. And they walked around it like 7 times, and guess what happened? The walls came crashing down. Israel was blessed. They entered the land. In time, our Savior was born. He suffered and He died to pay for their sin and mine. And in time, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon His church. And so now, it's our turn. Now, we go. We go and we promote the new Canaan. We go and we promote the kingdom of God, all by His Spirit. We glorify our God. And so we go by faith. No crystal balls. We don't turn to the stars. We don't delve into the secret things. No, we go by His revealed word. This is all we need by the power of His Spirit. So may this sermon be a very simple invitation to one and all. That's the title of my sermon tonight. An invitation to do God's will. May you do God's will in the Bible. Live by faith. Do it for His glory. You will be blessed. Amen. We're going to sing, Trust and Obey.